It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
He-Man's twin sister and defender of the Crystal Castle. This is Spirit, my beloved steed. Fabulous secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, "For the honor of Grayskull!" A few others share this secret. Among them are Lightfolk, Madam Raz, and Cowl. Together, we and my friends of the Great Rebellion strive to free Etheria from the evil forces of Horda.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 55th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is the one, the only, the TFG1 Mike Man. Hello.
The fucking great one. That's right.
No, that's not what that stands for.
No.
Anyway.
No, that's exactly what that stands for.
Are you ready to get more Mists of Etheria talking about, sir?
Yeah. It was kind of a mixed bag today.
I think I would agree with that statement. In this episode of Mists of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episodes 25, Small Problems, episode 26, Book Burning, and episode 27, The Eldritch Mist. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
My bow in the wagon.
I wish you had left me in the wagon.
Cease fire! All right, you rebels, come out of there now. This is your last chance. Get the Dissolvo beam ready.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Ooh, a simple supply run, you said. What could happen, you said. Oh, why do I listen to you?
At least they didn't spot Glimmer.
Bo and Cowl are trapped. I hope I can do this right.
Ready? Set?
That was great. How'd you ever think of it?
Mostly luck.
Oh, no, dear girl. No need to be modest. Why, She-Ra herself couldn't have done any better.
All right, first up today is episode 25, Small Problems, air date of Thursday, October 10th, 1985. The writers were Stephen J. Fisher on the story and Larry DiTillo on the teleplay. Plot synopsis goes something like this. Glimmer gets rather full of herself after rescuing Bo and Cowl. Then Catra tries a new shrinking formula on She-Ra, Swiftwind, and Glimmer. So we have Hordak, Catra, and Scorpia, and Mantenna. We have She-Ra, Bo, Glimmer, Cowl, Swiftwind, and one of the Sprockets.
Sprocker.
And
they're called Twiggets. I know. Come on, man.
And the other character we have in this one is a one known by the name of Professor Tempest. So what did you think about the Honey, I Shrunk the She-Ra characters?
Oh, God, you went there.
Where else could you go with that?
Well, I was thinking Eat Me, Drink Me.
Are you talking about Alice in Wonderland?
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
So confused there for a second.
Right. This one, like I said at the beginning of this part of the podcast, you could just switch Glimmer and Teela.
Yeah, I didn't think about that when I was watching it.
Oh my god. I don't know if it's the fact that I think Linda Gary did the voice of Glimmer. I think she did. I could be wrong. But if she did, then it's just completely, I'll save this for the Fright Zone moments, but general overall thoughts, I actually kind of hated Glimmer in this episode, and I never thought that would ever happen. I mean, she's an alright character. We haven't gotten much with her, but the way that this was written, just...
No, I'll have more to say about that in a little bit, but yeah, I could definitely support that statement as well. I'm not going to argue with you on that one.
Yeah, what else did you have for general thoughts?
It's a plot that is maybe not overly done, but that has definitely been done in a lot of different series as far as something happening with the size of the characters.
When did you say this aired?
October 1985.
Did they have small problems? Did they have microbots yet? Because this exact, well, not this exact thing, but the shrinking thing happened in the season 2 episode of Transformers Generation 1 called Microbots, where they had to climb into Megatron and find something or other. And then you go to, you know, a year from, you know, a couple of years from this or 1 year from this, you get Turtles, where Turtles had to shrink down and get inside Krang to destroy his enlarging chip. So,
right. I mean, series that was around for more than like 20, 30, 40 episodes, like if you're getting into the series that had 70 episodes, 80, 90, 100, or whatever, you're probably going to have an episode somewhere where somebody got either larger or smaller. So, I mean, it's not like it hasn't been done before, but it hasn't been done to the point where it's just like the kid story or, you know, something that just like seems like it's done 10 times in every series. Like, so I think it's a decent plot here. I mean, we didn't really see it in He-Man really too much, I don't think.
No.
So, I mean, it feels like it felt like something new and different for at least for this universe. So I didn't mind the plot. And yes, to kind of answer your question from before, yeah, Linda Gary is the voice of Glimmer.
That's what I figured. That's why I found the personality change so Teela. All right. Whispering Woods time, I guess.
All right.
Was I the one who said she had no need to be modest?
She's told that story to everyone in camp.
And each time she tells it, she adds more horsemen.
I think we've created a monster.
Monster?
Adora, you've got to speak to Glimmer.
What about?
She saved Cowl and me from some horsemen this morning, and I'm afraid it's gone to her head. She's been bragging about it all over camp.
It's become quite unbearable.
It can't be that bad.
Adora!
Yes, Glimmer?
I think I should be given more to do around here. Talent like mine shouldn't be wasted on small jobs.
I see what you mean. Come with me, Glimmer.
Alrighty, we find ourselves in the Whispering Woods for the first time today. And even though the plot might not be the most unique plot in the world of cartoon history, like we said, it is somewhat unique to the Masters of the Universe universe to be redundant, but so I think it, like always, comes down to the execution. I'm gonna let you go first because I only have
two.
Well, I may or may not have 20. So
oh Jesus, really? Seriously?
So go ahead, sir.
Okay then, ladies and gentlemen, you can pretty much tell how this is gonna fall with one of us on one side of the fence and the other one on the other side. It's kind of strange when Bo and Cowl are the likable characters compared to T-Glim. Oh, God.
You just called her T-Glim?
Yes, I did, because it's a combination of Teela and Glimmer's personality.
Again. It's like T-Swift or something.
No. Come on now.
You went there.
Scorpia in a scorpion tank. Oh, the irony.
She seems to get a little bit more unique vehicles than the rest of the horde. So, all right.
Well, it'd be kind of obvious if Catra, who turns into a cat, has a cat vehicle.
Yeah.
And Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Even though I do have some issues that I'll get to later, and we'll talk more about Glimmer, but what I do like is I like the idea that there's conflict between two of the good guys. Mm-hmm. That's not something you see a ton of. I mean, you get it. I guess the series that I think you get it the most in is the Turtles, because you oftentimes have like Raphael being
Raph and Leo.
Yeah, having some conflict or stuff like that. So I mean, you do get it in other series, but you don't get it overly often. And I like the idea that we actually had two of the people in this series that are both considered good guys actually having a little quarrel. So I like that. And then they partner that up with this episode with two bad guys that are competing. So yep. I very much enjoyed the fact that you have those both going on at the same time. I thought that was really cool. I've heard this story before. There was a nice element of surprise there. I forgot. I like that they put the line in there. I forgot about Adora. It's just like a throwaway line. Oh, I forgot about Adora. Scientist is so perfect for the typical mad scientist look. That Professor Tempest, like, yeah. He was the prototypical look for like a mad scientist. You couldn't have drawn that much better. And how do you not love She-Ra as a Smurf?
Yeah, but she wasn't blue.
Yeah.
And if you choke her, is she going to turn green?
She was blue in that one moment.
Okay, well, no. She was blue, and they were all blue in the moment with the spray hit them, but the actual shrinkage, you know.
She jumped in the pool. That's fire. All I could think about when she turned blue when they were spraying them is like, oh, they're all little Smurfs. we didn't mention before because he wasn't necessarily listed on IMDb as a member of this episode, but Hose Nose makes an appearance.
Hose Nose makes, I think, his only appearance.
His first and only appearance. So I thought that was cool. I was not expecting that, so I like that.
Did you know that they had made his figure in the classics line?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Also, we get some shots of local wildlife, like Aetherian wildlife, and we don't usually get that in these. We get like beasts or monsters, but we don't just get like the generic like animals that it might exist in the world. So I thought that was a little cool. And I know I already made the Honey I Shrunk Your Thing, your She-Ra, but I wrote Honey I Shrunk Your Rebels. Because that was just an interesting thing. And I thought it was a real good job of making the frog sound effects deeper because of how much bigger he was than the characters. It almost sounded like Frank Welker was doing the frog sounds, even though he wasn't. But it was just really deep, and it kind of added to the effect of the size differential. So I like that. And then I also like the fact that there was the nice touch of Swiftwind not being able to carry both of them.
Yeah, I did like that. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Also, a cool effect that they had from a visual standpoint when they did the shot of Bo holding the mini rebels. I thought it was cool seeing them and how it looked in his hand. actually have paperwork for Scorpio's arrival. That was comical. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have paperwork for her arrival? But I got a good kick out of that. And a rare occurrence that Bo was actually good in this episode.
Yeah.
So he actually performed effectively. And was it just me, or did I sense some hints of a Scorpia and Bo relationship there, buddy?
Well, I wouldn't say it was a Scorpia and Bo relationship because she thought he was somebody else.
Right.
She
but it was just an interesting.
It was. I'll get to that later.
Okay. I thought it was a really cool shot on the balcony of Catra and Scorpia. When they're on the balcony overlooking everything. So I like that. A line from Scorpia. You are the fool. You should have never given them a warning. I like that line because it's prototypical cartoon writing where the bad guy has the good guys in a situation where if they just shoot, they'll kill them. Or if they'll just do whatever, they'll succeed with their mission. And they always have to talk or give them a warning or say something to be like, ah, I'm going to get you or something, which then always gives somebody else the time to stop it. So I like that they actually acknowledge that. And Scorpio's like, why would you give them a warning? Just shoot or just do whatever you're going to do. So I like that. And I like the overall analogy between getting a big head, which Glimmer was at the beginning of the episode, and then countering that with the size thing about the bodies being big or small. So I liked that play. I had She-Ra right in the palm of my hand, says Bo. That's kind of creepy, but anyway.
it's kind of a lot creepy.
But they partner that with a great line. I think best line of the series so far, said to Bo, "You're the joke, dear boy."
So I'm looking on the He-Man Wikia page for Hose Nose. His actual name is Snout Spout. Hose Nose is an alias. His homes are Etheria and Eternia. He is a human slash cyborg. And he does, I'm not going to say which episodes, but he does appear in 4 total She-Ra episodes.
Okay, so we'll
he also appears, yeah, we'll see him 3 more times. Well, I'll say this, he has a cameo in the Christmas special, which we won't get until the end of this year, but there's 2 other episodes of the actual series. He also is featured in the mini comics, in Eye of the Storm and the Ultimate Battleground. And like I said, there was an original toy from the original line for him, and the Masters Classics line basically updated it, where he looks like the Eternian or the Etherian Elephant Fireman.
Right.
But yeah, that's some stuff with Hose Nose.
All right. Well, I've said enough definitely for Whispering Woods. What about Fright Zone? What didn't you like about this episode? I have a feeling you have a few.
Fright Zone. Yes, I have a few. So between the time we are introduced to Glimmer in Secret of the Sword, Sword of Shiver, or whatever, the 5-part opener, and now, there hasn't really been a lot of character development at all on her. She shows up. She's this sweet, innocent little thing. And then this is where, when, and how they decide to implement the character development. It's Teela all over again. Like, I understand she got a big head. We all get big heads every now and then. But it's just one of those things where she kept going on and on and on and on. And it's like, oh my God, shut up.
I didn't get the Teela analogy, though. When did Teela do something like that?
Oh, please. There's 130 episodes.
Well, she was annoying, but she didn't have an episode where she was just bragging about how good she was over and over and over again.
Every single time she tried to teach Adam anything.
Well, I guess you get hints of that. I don't really see it in the same way that they did it this episode, but maybe a hint of it.
Either Bo is the greatest liar ever, or Scorpia is the dumbest redhead ever. Besides Teela. Like, seriously, she's really going to fall for a black eye mask? I mean, oh God, Scorpia's Lois Lane and Bo is Clark Kent. Oh my God, holy hell. I don't even know what count we're at, folks. I really don't, but I know there's 2 in this. So Sword to Lasso, count what at number whatever, and Sword to Grapple in Line, count number whatever. I'm going to have to... Before we get to the wrap-up of the series.
This is your job, sir.
I'm going to have to go back and actually count them up. I am writing them down. I'm just not writing an actual number. So
right.
I'll have to go back and count them up. But yeah, I mean, this episode just... I don't know. It just didn't... What did we have? Well, coming off of the holiday episode, Horde Prime Takes a Holiday, this just kind of felt like average.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I think it's an interesting story that with Glimmer and that she has a big head or whatever, even though it's annoying. But the problem is they're supposed to be portraying this like she basically dealt with like a couple Horde troopers and then she exaggerates it into like, you know, 50 or 100 or this, that, or the other. The problem is the animation actually did show about 50 Horde troopers.
Yeah.
It showed a ton of Horde troopers. So they probably shouldn't have animated it quite like that. It should have been just a couple. And why were the Horde bots flying low enough for She-Ra to grab them? Like, they should have just been flying higher. I have the Sword to Grappling line. And then my only really nitpick, I guess, overall, besides those little minor ones, is the way they kind of wrap it up with the whole, oh, I found a valve that said danger. Like, that was a little too easy. But honestly, those are the only things I could complain about in the whole episode. So the PSA is about not bragging and getting a big head. I mean, I think that's a good thing for kids to learn about, because that's a big thing about kids. Like, you have to learn to not be
right.
a big-headed, arrogant asshole. And some people never learn that. So, all right, let's take a quick break and see where we fall on this.
Are you trying to imply something?
No.
right.
But let's take a break and see where we actually come down on the awards and rankings for this episode, because I have a feeling we might disagree.
You jackass!
Is the miniaturization formula ready?
Well, almost, mighty one.
Almost isn't good enough. You obviously haven't been working those wretched scientists hard enough. I'm sending Scorpia there. Perhaps she can get some results where you have failed.
Ah, that miserable insect!
Silence! With that formula, I'll be able to shrink Adora and her rebels to the size of bugs. And I'll hear no more excuses. Understood?
Yes, my one.
Good. Pour that out.
All right, I only have a few pieces of hardware, so I'll get that out of the way, and then we can get into the arguing part of this section. But for Horde Bats, I will give a Horde Bat to the Horde Bots. So, Horde Bat to the Horde Bots, because you're idiots if you're flying low enough for She-Ra to grab you. You have the ability to fly higher. So, and then I have a Protection Sword. I'm actually going to do something. I might only do this one time the entire series. I will give a Protection Sword to Bo, because he actually was effective for once. What about you?
I'm going to give a Horde Bat to Glimmer. I know she learned her lesson in the end, but just like... Oh, I know what episode this reminds me of, is when Teela would not listen to what her father was telling her. There was an episode where Teela constantly went against Man-at-Arms' wishes and was constantly bitching and bragging about how she could do shit on her own. And that's exactly, I don't remember the episode name, but I think it's in the first season of He-Man. Yeah. But that's exactly what this reminded me of. And
that one was more about disobedience and less about...
I know it was, okay. But it's still... Just the attitudes of the two characters are very similar to me. So I'll give one to Glimmer. As far as protection stories, I'll give one to Bo. I mean, like I said, he was a better character. It's probably the only time he's an actual decent, you know, intelligent character.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, and go ahead with your rating.
2.5.
How much?
2.5.
That's a little too low for my liking. I actually really enjoyed this episode. I liked the idea that there was, you know, the shrinking of some of the characters and kind of how they kind of interact with everybody. I like the message about not being arrogant. I like the duality between Glimmer and She-Ra having a tiff, as well as the two bad guys. I like the fact that we get Snout Spout in here. I just think there was a lot of cool things in this episode. I will knock it just a little bit for the Horde Bots flying too low, and the whole valve that said danger at the end. So I'm giving this one a 4.5 out of 5. 4.5. So that's the accurate rating of this episode.
That's the strange rating.
No.
But a
real great start to today, and we will see where we go with episode 26 next.
Great start.
Great start. Let's see where we go with episode 26.
I don't know about that.
Hurry, children. Our school has two very special visitors today. Class, I'd like you to meet... Adora and Bo. They've come to tell us some things about the Horde and the Rebellion.
Thank you, Serena. I know you've been told...
Corey, late again? Sorry. Please excuse the interruption, Adora. Go ahead.
Your teacher has already told you that Etheria was not always ruled by the Horde. Before they came, this was a lovely, peaceful planet.
That's not true! Corey, please don't interrupt!
That's all right. I'd like to answer. It's the truth, Corey. The Horde invaded Etheria and took away our freedom, our liberty.
That's a lie! The Horde says that they came here because they were invited. They brought peace to Etheria.
That's a Horde lie. I used to believe their lies, too. You see, I was a member of the Horde until I found out what they were really like.
Uh-oh, and here they are.
Up next today is episode 26, Book Burning, air date of Friday, October 11th, 1985. Leslie Wilson did the story, Francis Moss did the teleplay. It's pretty simple here. Freedom is threatened as Horde villains Tongue and Rattler begin to burn all the Rebels' books. So we have Tongue Lashor, Hordak, Mantenna, Leech. It says Leech, but then it said Rattler. Are they both in this one?
No, it's just Rattler.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then for members of the Rebellion, we have She-Ra, obviously, Bo and Swiftwind. We also have a bunch of kids, Serena, Corey, Sarah, Brian, Ariane, some boys, and a mother, and all this and that jazz. So,
plus the teacher.
Plus the teacher, yeah. So what do you think of the almost Hitler-like book-burning episode?
Well, where's Dr. Jones or the other Dr. Jones when you really need them?
Which Dr. Jones are we referring to? Indiana Jones?
Either one. Senior or junior. And then the only general thought I wrote down here, because most of my other thoughts are in Whispering Woods and the Fright Zone. Not that I care and not that I'm counting, because I'm actually not, but I actually did spot Lukey in the episode.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Oh crap. This one's even more generic than the last one. It's your standard.
It seems like a
take over a town and do everything to destroy the town and, you know, I don't know.
It seems like just a weird topic for me for
She-Ra.
For She-Ra, yeah. Like, I get this maybe in a more mature cartoon type thing, but I think it's just a weird thing to throw at kids. I don't know if they would completely get the significance of book burning and kind of the historical aspect of it and things like that. So I'm not sure if I'm a fan. I was kind of put off from the beginning of it seemed like very much forced. Like if someone that had an agenda that they wanted to make into a cartoon episode and fit it into this world. And it doesn't seem like a She-Ra story to me. So I guess.
And both of these series, both He-Man and She-Ra, sorry to cut you off, but both of these series, you know, how many episodes of He-Man out of the 130 did we have PSAs about He-Man or any of the other masters coming on for the PSA saying, you know, go read, kids, go, you know, I mean, that was part of Lou Scheimer's family-friendly kind of thing. And it's like, wait, what? Did somebody lock Lou in a closet and just do whatever the hell they wanted for this episode? I understand the thing about the whole, you know, the Horde trying to impress upon the children their ways and that they're the good guys and the Rebellion's the bad. I mean, it's the same, you know.
Yeah.
I've seen that before kind of thing. And like you already said, it's, you know, the Horde troopers are essentially Nazis in this and whatever. So I don't know. It just didn't feel like it should belong in this show.
Yeah, I was definitely turned off by the premise, so we'll have to see how that affected our Whispering Woods or Fright Zone moments as we head there next.
Greetings, people of Northland! We have come to free you from the evil books of the Rebels! My friends, to stop the spread of further lies about the Great Horde, we are collecting all books. I repeat, all books. You will bring them here to the town square by noon tomorrow. I am also appointing a new teacher for the school. This is Tongue.
Hooray for the Horde!
Good boy. I'll talk to you later.
All right, for the second time today, we're in the Whispering Woods talking about the good parts of the book burning episode, and I only have a few, as do you, so we'll get this over real quick. My first one is Tongue Lashor. I really liked having an episode that featured him mainly. I liked seeing more of him. There was a comedic moment with the paper plane in the mouth. I thought that was funny. And then the sword being put with all the other weapons, I thought that was a nice touch that it just kind of got thrown out there with the rest of them. So
it looked like it fell out of the sheath, though. It didn't look like somebody grabbed it from her.
Yeah, but I mean, just that it was piled on with all the other.
I know. I'm not trying to be negative about it. I'm just saying when I saw that happen, I'm like, wait, it just popped out.
A couple minor things that I liked. What about you?
Adora the trapeze artist. That was awesome. And hey, look, the Star Child is in this episode, or at least her animation model is for one of the kids.
There's a blonde girl, and then there's a redheaded freckled boy that seems to be used more than once in this series. That's for sure. Any other highlights for you?
No.
All right. What about Fright Zone moments?
Okay, so they don't actually say his full name, so I kind of got confused. Because I was like, Tongue? Who the hell is Tongue? Is that supposed to be Tongue Lashor? Because they don't actually say his full name.
Right.
They say Tongue and Ratlore. Corey, that kid is the worst out of any Filmation Masters of the Universe character ever.
That's a competitive group there.
This kid takes the cake. This kid is worse than Cousin Jeremy. Hmm. And you know how much I hate that kid.
I'd have to think about that one.
Okay, so on the exterior of the Horde transport, it's not that big of a vehicle. Yet on the inside, it's like going into the friggin' Fright Zone. There's like several different it's like going into a massive mobile home or something like that. It doesn't even look like it's that. Anybody that listens to this show that likes Doctor Who, I mean, I guess things are truly bigger on the inside. But it just, I found that just a horrible, horrible thing. And the last one, and I know you're going to love this because I'm probably going to steal your thunder with it. She-Ra pulled a He-Man and moved water. And then that water washed over three different areas. There's no way there was enough water for all of that.
Right.
No way. At least He-Man never moved fire. So at least She-Ra has that one claim to fame. I don't think he moved fire. I don't remember. Go ahead.
I got some here. A book burning story, number one. A school in... First of all, we have a small rebel, like, force here, all right? Because we got the Horde that's basically got most of the stuff going on here. Then we're going to have the Rebellion. And we have a school in the Rebellion. Like, this, everything about this episode is just fabricated. It's fabricated, it's forced, it's stuff written into a universe that would never exist. So I have problems with that. Even just the lines, like, we have come to free you from the evil books of the rebels. Like, how would the rebels even have the ability to create books, like, or to mass produce them as textbooks? Like, this is so far-fetched. If you're gonna have, like, stories that have been passed down maybe from one person to another orally, but you're not gonna have evil books of the rebels. I mean, come on, that's stupid. Why were Bo and Adora in masks? Like, they couldn't even be seen? Like, that was just dumb. It made no sense. It was, like, creepy as fuck. Like, why are we gonna have these two adults talking to kids about books in masks? Like, what were they gonna do afterwards? I don't know. This is disturbing. A kid can cut the chains with a sword?
Especially,
I don't care what sword it is.
I kind of do, because this is the sort of fucking protection, people. This is a power sword. This is a, you know, like, oh, God.
Well, just the whole fact that he could even hold the sword, and then they're just going to be able to cut something with it, especially cutting chains. We're not talking about him just cutting a rope or cutting a string. He's cutting chains. She just carved out a freaking lake. First of all, pretty sure it doesn't work like that. You don't just get to cut around the ground, and then somehow that's also going to cut the bottom of the lake so that it could be lifted off. I'm pretty sure there's going to be roots and different things there. And let's not even talk about the fact that I'm pretty sure not only does it not work like that, but She-Ra just destroyed a whole heck of a lot of wildlife and animals and nature, which is that really the story that we're trying to tell? I don't know. Captain Planet would have a problem with this.
So between between book burning and destroying nature, this show has gone way downhill.
Yeah, it's just an offensive episode altogether, tackling way too many things that shouldn't be tackled in a She-Ra episode. So boo to all of that, basically. Mm-hmm. The PSA was about appreciating things before they're taken away from us. So,
the irony.
So I guess you could say that you have to appreciate books before they get taken away, or maybe the wildlife should have appreciated the lake before it got taken away from them. So I don't know, but I did not like this episode, if you couldn't tell.
Like, I could see, like, I remember vaguely in He-Man when there were times where He-Man would throw a boulder at a lake to make the water. And I know that that is just completely, it's not logical, but, and he did do what she did here a few times as well, but I could see like him trying to transport the water or she trying to transport the water by itself, maybe.
Right.
But I mean, and like I already said, there's no way there was enough water in that, in that soup bowl to, because you look at the thing after it dumps out, it tumbles end over end like some random bowl that you would see on a dinner table.
It's real bad.
Oh god, it's real bad.
All right, let's take a quick break and see who gets sword bat horde bats. Who gets protection bats and horde swords, and where we fall in the ratings for this one right after this.
That's kind of like, where's the Decepticon matrix of leadership when you really need it?
Something like that. Something's needed for this episode.
Give back the children, Hordak!
In time, Adora, after they've learned the ways of the Horde.
You?
Put Adora in the jail. I want to bring her back to the Fright Zone, personally.
All right, it's time to hand out some more hardware. Mr. TFG1 Mike, what do you have for us? Horde bats or protection swords, either or neither or both?
Horde bats to Corey, and I think this might be the only time so far that I've done this, but She-Ra.
Ooh, oh, She-Ra God. Gets one.
There was something in this episode that she did. It is exactly what it is. I think I gave her one when she moved fire, and yeah, I'm giving her one because she moved water as well. I'm sorry. We've already talked about this in the almost 5 years that we've been doing. Oh my god, we've been doing this almost 5 years. Holy crap. You know, the 4 years it took us to get through He-Man. How many times did we bitch and complain about He-Man being able to move water the way that he did and the way that she did as well? So yeah. Corey and She-Ra. Corey is just obvious. That even though he learns his lesson in the end, just, I don't. As soon as he stood up and said, "I'm for the Horde," yeah, you get a bat right upside the fucking head.
I mean, that was a decent thing to have a kid, I guess, that turned and was supporting the Horde, but we've already had it once, and he was very annoying. So I'm going to agree with you. I will give Corey a Horde bat as well. Did you have any protection swords?
Nope.
I do have one, and because I always do this, I guess, but I'll give one protection sword to Tongue Lasher, because I thought he was pretty cool in the episode. That's about the only thing I liked in the episode. So
if I see him again, I'll give him one, but because I didn't know, like, I didn't, again, they didn't say his full name, so I was kind of confused on that.
No problem. What about a rating? Where do you get this one?
Zero.
Zero. Straight zero. Whoa. We got a zero being handed out, folks. Let me mark that down in the books. Zero crystal castles for you. I am not that far ahead of you. I am at one. So one for me, zero for you. That's not a good episode. We've gone downhill. Let's see if
it all comes down to ones and zeros, the binary code.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see if we can pick it up in our last episode as we make our way to episode 27 next.
For a flight.
It certainly is, Swifty. You know, I'm looking forward to visiting Castaspella. We haven't been to Mysticore in... Wait, What's that down there? It's a Horde slave camp.
What is the Horde doing out here in the middle of nowhere?
It's some kind of excavation. But let's see what we can do about freeing those poor slaves. Down, Swifty, down!
Move along! Move along!
Let those people go.
Shira!
Well, you know, I was hoping there wouldn't be any fuss. Oh, well. Up you go!
You slaves, get back to the tent!
Here comes another one! Sword to Bola!
Hey, what is this?
Please, let me escort you to the slave tent. Everyone into the transport before the troopers get free. Let's get these people to safety and be on our way to Mysticore.
Up last today is episode 27, The Eldritch Mist. I think it belongs in the mines of Mordor and Middle Earth stuff here, but air date of Monday, October 14th, 1985, written by Robert Lamb. Cast a spell, uses the Pool of Vision to transport Adam to Etheria. Not creepy at all. Shadow Weaver uses the Eldritch Book of Spells to surround the Whispering Woods with the mist of endless sleep. We have Hordak, Shadow Weaver, Horde Prime. We got She-Ra, Cast a Spell, Bow Glimmer, Madam Raz, He-Man, some sprockets, some twiggets, cowl, swiftman, light hope, broom. We got a whole bunch of people. What are your general thoughts of the Pool of Vision being used to bring Adam back to combat the sleepy mists?
So usually he goes to Castle Grayskull. Usually we see some sort of form of Eternia and he ends up going to Castle Grayskull, and or the sorceress will open up a portal right there where he is sometimes if they're in telepathic contact. This was interesting because you basically have cast a spell of being some sort of, I don't want to call her a sexual deviant, but I'm going
might
to
as well.
Because
you might as well.
Because I mean she's got the hots for Adam, and it's like it is so plainly obvious, and I thought it was a really interesting way to get him here to make when I go to watch the thing, I just scroll down, because usually when you send me the scripts, they're all fairly compact, so in order for me to get space in on my documents to actually write my thoughts down so they're not in bold letters all the time, right, I usually just put a bunch of return marks and then copy them into, you know, the rest of the episodes. And here it was like, that's an interesting way to get a crossover, because I wasn't expecting it. And like I said, I don't really look at the episode descriptions when I'm doing my notes. I watch the episodes. So right. I didn't even know this was going to be a crossover. So how many is that now?
We're getting up there. That's a half dozen, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Because I don't count Secret of the Sword, because that is what
we got to be at, like 4, 5, or 6 so far.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But overall, I love this one. I thought the plot was really interesting. I thought, like I said, how they got Adam there was interesting. I thought that we were going to get a bit more background with Castispella and Shadow Weaver. I'll talk about that later, but I was kind of hoping for that.
Right.
But overall, I think it was a really good episode. Really interesting, nice little plot here. It's better than the last episode we talked about, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was anything necessarily bad about the plot or the synopsis. I mean, I might have some issues with it here and there, but the plot itself was not going to sour me on this episode, even though a couple other things might. So let's make our way for the final time to the Whispering Woods and to the Fright Zone to see exactly how we break this one down.
What? Not that She-Ra again. Oh, no matter. Tomorrow, with this book, the rebellion will be made helpless, prisoners of their own forest.
Cast a spell.
it true that you can see other planets in your pool of vision? I can see almost anywhere. Watch. Pool of vision, with sights to uncover. Show me Eternia and Adora's brother. You did it! It's Adam! He is quite handsome, huh? Yes, quite nice. You must bring him here.
I'm just an ordinary person. Bringing someone from another world is more your style.
Yes, it is.
Adora! Adora!
That sounds like Cowl.
Where am I?
What is it, Cowl? What's wrong?
I saw this large, old ship landing at the edge of the Whispering Woods.
That means trouble.
Why, I'm completely dry. That is the strangest water I've ever seen. I wonder who lives here.
Looks like I'll have to cut my visit short, Castor. I don't like having the Horde in my front yard.
Adora! Adora!
It couldn't be. Adam? Adam! We were just talking about you. Oh, Castispella, I would like you to meet my brother, Adam.
Welcome to Castle Mysticore.
Well, thank you. This grand estate is overshadowed only by its lovely mistress. But I don't quite understand how I got here. I think I fell into the courtyard fountain, but how did I wind up in a bathtub in your castle?
Oh, dear. I must have left the pool of vision on by mistake.
Mistake my foot?
It is my fault you're here. I can send you back if you like.
Well, actually, things are pretty quiet on Eternia right now. Besides, I thought I overheard something about the Horde.
Yes, and as long as you're here, we could probably use your help.
Well, whatever I can do, sister.
It will take too long to ride to the woods. Let me take you there, my way.
All right, for the final time today, we find ourselves in the Whispering Woods. I will start. I had one, even though we usually put this as a Fright Zone moment, I did actually somewhat like the sword to Bola thing, just because I think Bolas are cool and it reminds me of Thundercats. Mark down another sword transformation, I guess. Yeah. I thought that was a pretty cool entrance for Shadow Weaver coming up as She-Ra was flying off and being like, whatever she said. I thought that was a cool entrance for her. I also do like the hints about a past between Castispella and Shadow Weaver, and that Shadow Weaver used to be good and was somehow turned evil. So I like the hints of that kind of backstory that might exist. I thought it was interesting that we did get Light Hope and Horde Prime in the same episode, even though I'm not a big fan of either character. And a lot of moments, if you're a fan of He-Man and She-Ra and them interacting, you'll like this episode because there's a lot of moments of them doing stuff together, of the cooperating or interacting with each other. So I think that's the best part about this episode. What kind of stuff do you have in Whispering Woods?
I still love that double transformation. But I miss Battle Cat. I miss Cringer Battle Cat. Like, come on. I mean,
and everybody else, why no Battle Cat?
I know,
you can easily,
right?
Interact with Swiftwing. Come on.
Mm-hmm. You already mentioned it, and I'll mention it here, and I'll mention it also in the Fright Zone. There seems to be a bit of backstory between Shadow Weaver and Castispella, but they only hint at it, and I'll talk about that later. Hey, look, it's Lotso Huggin' Bear.
Yeah.
Toy Story 3. This is the first thing I thought. It was either that. Now, okay, so this is, what's the one? You should know this. The Care Bear with the heart on his chest.
Tenderheart?
Tender, yeah. If there was a heart,
yeah, people,
on the,
I know my
chest,
Care Bears. Sorry.
You should. You've got all the voices for them from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
And I actually just worked on Care Bears and Cousins, the straight-to-Netflix series of 2015.
Oh, God. Yeah.
If there had been a heart on his chest, I would have made a Tender Heart reference, because the Care Bears and She-Ra and Strawberry Shortcake, oh my.
Nice.
Hordak turned off his projector a bit too early, because he fall down, go boom. And then the best line out of this episode, that's She-Ra. She really burns me up.
That's a good one.
Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, definitely some good moments. I have a few more Fright Zone moments, unfortunately, though.
I only first, have two.
Well, first of all, go ahead and give your two.
So we get allusions, as I already said, and we've already talked about. You said you liked it that they allude to it. I don't like that they just allude to it. We get allusions to Shadow Weaver's past, and along with Cast a Spell, but zero explanation. Now that they've given us this, I want an episode where they somehow... I thought they were going to take that with this episode and somehow do a flashback or something explaining why she went evil or whatever.
Right.
But they don't do that at all, and it pisses me off.
Hopefully they will at some point.
Yeah, hopefully they will. And how the hell did they get into the woods at the end to break the spell? Shouldn't they be outside of the woods trying to break the spell? Because...
I thought it was handled kind of poorly all the way around, of being able to fly over it and bring people in and take people out. I was like, well, then what's the big deal? I don't know. I wish they would have had it so it was just like a globe encompassing the whole Whispering Woods.
They've already done that.
Yeah.
They did that with the plant episode.
Man, I've said it before, but God, I hate Cast a Spell's voice. Why is Cast a Spell fawning over Adam? This is... It'd be different if it was just like, oh, you know, if he did something and she's like, oh, he's strong. Like, let's make a note because he's got super strength and girls like guys that are strong. Like, let's do something that makes sense. But the way she's doing it in this episode is creepy as hell. It's creepy as hell. The romantic notions in this episode are off-putting. Hordak didn't see She-Ra walk right up to him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's shooting at Adam. And then She-Ra walks upstairs towards him and you know, basically thwarts his plans. Like, he should have seen her coming. Like, do something. And then the book comes out of that thing when it gets hit. It, like, goes in this, like, security thing, which is, like, some type of sci-fi, like it goes into another realm or something. It's like it goes in here. So, like, when it gets hit, it seems weird that the book would just fall out. The other thing... So Cast a Spell and Adam/He-Man are you know, exchanging these different romantic things or whatever, and she's talking about, oh, you should, you know, maybe you can, or he says, maybe you can come to Eternia and blah, 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 and they're doing all this stuff. And She-Ra has to come in with the line, he's my brother. What the hell does that have to do with anything? It'd be different if it was like, that's my boyfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that's my husband. But it's like, that's my brother. Well, okay. Can he not have romantic relationships with anybody? That was weird. And first of all, or last of all, I guess, at the beginning, because this episode completely glosses over this and I can't let it do that. In the beginning, Cast a Spell is not only fawning over Adam. But, well, first of all, I just thought of this, but does Cast a Spell ever come into contact with He-Man?
I don't think so.
So it's just Adam both times? Hopefully, because otherwise that's a bad part of the episode, too.
I'm trying to see. I don't remember, like, even in this episode, I don't remember if it was the, wait.
Yeah, they do.
They do, because, yeah, in this episode.
At the beginning, when she's looking in the pool, it's Adam.
It's Adam.
That she's attracted to. But then she has conversations with He-Man.
She has conversations with He-Man, and there's a little bit of flirting, but it's not, like, so overt that it, you know, she basically wants to jump down Adam's purple pants.
I mean,
seriously.
But the biggest issue I have here is she does something that our hero normally wouldn't do. She uses her powers to bring him to Etheria, which is somewhat kind of underhanded and somewhat, I would think, would be frowned upon. Or at least be like a lesson learning thing. Like, something should have been wrong. Like, she brought him over and then he was almost killed. Or he was...
Didn't
But didn't Adora say she wished she could see him more?
Yeah, no, she said that, but then...
Okay, so I think that's the only explanation other than outside of Cast a Spell's own sexual choices.
Well, that's what it is, though, because she's leaving, and she kind of turns around and is like...
And snaps her finger. Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, the only logical, outside of her own motives, the only logical reason why she would do what she did is because Adora said she missed her brother.
Right. I just don't like the fact that she did something that she wasn't supposed to do, and the episode gives no repercussions for that whatsoever. Like, she completely gets away with it. Nobody says anything. She's having this romantic little back and forth with him, and then he goes back about his way, and no one's like, you shouldn't have done that, Castispella, or there was never like, oh, I caused something, like something bad happened because of what I did. There was none of that. So I just, that kind of upset me a little bit, I guess. And the PSA is about seeking help from your elders and knowing when to seek help from someone that knows more about something than you do, which I think that's a good PSA, I guess.
It's not something we haven't already seen.
No, and it is kind of shoehorned in there because there was really no necessarily mandatory reason for us to see Light Hope or Horde Prime in this episode. But what are you going to do?
Well, I could be wrong, and we'll find this out, you know, in future episodes. This might be the only time He-Man has ever been to see Light. Like, again, we've already said this a million times in this era of the podcast. Neither one of us have seen this in a long-ass time. So I don't remember how many times He-Man has actually been to the Crystal Castle. So I didn't quite mind the fact that we had the Light Hope thing, and the Horde Prime thing was just funny.
I enjoy the fact that we've had eras of this podcast. We've been doing it for so long that there's different eras.
Well, so everyone should know originally, Powers of Grayskull series was going to be four separate podcasts doing all four Masters of the Universe cartoons every single episode. And there was a point where I believe you had said something to Steve somewhere, whatever, where it was like, why do we have three other, at the time we hadn't even started Shiri yet, why do we have three other podcasts on iTunes that don't even have any episodes? So that's when I came up with the plan to combine them all into one, and we have four different eras now instead of four different podcasts. So
right. No, it's all good. It just seems like we're on a long trek. But all right,
it's going to take us a few years,
Let's take a quick break and let's come back for the last time to hand out any last-minute hardware additions to our trophy case.
Well, here goes. Mist of evil, disappear. Take your sleep far from here. It's all around Whispering Woods. Can you transport us inside or the others out here? No, this mist blocks every spell I've got.
Maybe the mist doesn't cover the entire forest. Say, where's Spirit? We could ride around the other side of the woods.
Oh, dear. We left Spirit back at your castle. Oh, no problem. This is something I can do. Magic bring Adora's steed to grant Aram's wish indeed. What about me? Please stay here, just in case Shadow Weaver returns. Let's go, Spirit.
We'll be back soon.
I think She-Ra and He-Man could be of more help with a mist of endless sleep.
I agree, sis.
For the
All right, it's Horde Bat time for the last time. Do you have anything to give out, sir?
You know, if you change the color of Castispello's boots and you change her top into some skin-showing white thing, it's almost like she could be Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman in this episode, so I'll give a horde bat to her just because she is so devious about her motives in this episode.
Yeah, horde bat to Castispello for me as well. I did not like her in this episode, and it wasn't just her voice for once. So, any protection swords for you?
He-Man, She-Ra, Hordak, and Shadow Weaver.
All right, that's a lot. You like to give out a lot of...
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, anytime He-Man shows up, and like I said, that double transformation gets me every time. Hordak almost turned into Skeletor this episode. I mean, the stuff that was happening to Hordak is stuff that would normally happen to Skeletor. I mean, Hordak, to this point, outside of Secret of the Sword, hasn't really had a whole lot of screw-ups with his equipment and whatever else. And, you know, just the fact, the irony of the fact that he set up the burning room for them, and he ends up in there and has that really awesome line. And Shadow Weaver just is so freaked out by the bear. It's just hilariously good. It's an amazingly good freak out.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you for half of yours. I will give protection swords to He-Man and She-Ra. So I enjoyed their moments in this episode. As far as ratings go, I give this one 3 out of 5. It was better than average, but there was some issues with it, especially the Castispello love part that I just really turned me off. So it's only going to get a 3 from me. What about you?
3.5.
3.5, you said?
Yeah, 3.5.
All right, so we're pretty much lockstep on that one. That means for you, it wasn't a very good week. For me, I really enjoyed one episode, so we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with our final thoughts on today's episodes.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Pixels in the Animation is the Geekcast Radio Network's video game cartoon review show. We are covering every episode of 9 different video game cartoons. Join TV's Mr. Neil and myself, TFG and Mike, as we trek through multiple Mario tunes, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Sonic, and we are also driving through Donkey Kong Country. Pixels in the Animation is 100 episodes of video game cartoon goodness, so tune in to help us find the Pixels in the Animation, which you can find every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
All right, folks, that's it for episode 55.
You don't
strange,
say.
Strange episodes this week.
I mean, I like the idea that there were some hints at a Shadow Weaver backstory and that she might have been good. I like that we got another episode with Tongue Lasher in like a central role. We got to see Hose Nose or Snout Spout, whatever you want to call him. And I did really enjoy the Small Problems episode, but from there it was just kind of mediocre to poor episodes. Really bad one with the book burning, and the Eldritch Mist was just okay. So a lot of creepy love things going on for different episodes. I don't know. This is just a weird week, I guess.
Yeah, it's a very, very weird week. All right. Thank you for listening to Mists of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Be sure to tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. There's a 5-minute time limit. Follow us on Twitter, at Geekcast Radio is network Twitter. You can also follow at Pow of Grayskull, which is the podcast Twitter. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
The only one that matters, at Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We hope you enjoyed the myths today, and don't forget to join us on our next adventure when we will take a look at the next 3 episodes, those being, oh no, Bo's Farewell, The Price of Freedom, and Play It Again, Bo.
It's a Bo themed week. I know you're excited.
Somebody give me an arrow to the knee, please. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.